So.
It's also a very special day today.
It'd be like that till when? March?
Car?
Car.
Well, I need to
Are you going to play with us for
dinner? I was.
Linda!
Can you wait for me to get mom's glasses?
I think you need to get them because my flip flops are downstairs. So I can't look outside at this time.
You said 42?
42.
Well, maybe after we play.
You will see a theme in our songs. I'll let you tell me when you figure it out.
Jesus.
Utilities.
That's always a the overlying theme. Background theme, I guess you could go. Oh, play that one more time there. Beautiful song. All right. Go to page 55. Come, Christians, join to sing. See if you can pick up on the theme. Come, Christians, join to sing. Alleluia, amen. Loud praise to Christ our King. Alleluia, amen. Let all with heart and voice before His throne rejoice. Praise is His gracious choice. Alleluia, amen. On high. Alleluia, amen. Let praises fill the sky. Alleluia, amen. He is our guide and friend. To us He'll condescend. His love shall never end. Alleluia. Christ again. Alleluia, amen. Life shall not end the strain. Alleluia, amen. On heaven's blissful shore, His goodness we'll adore, singing forevermore. Alleluia, amen. Amen. Anybody see the common theme so far? Nobody? Well, let's...
We're praising Jesus.
It's all good, but it's not what...
The word chosen?
We have a winner. Chosen. Both songs, and it's in this one too.
It's the next one.
153. What if it were today? Yeah, I'm going to be preaching on the frozen chosen today.
listeners can get those prayer requests into bbfyproctonmail.com as Janie passes out the cards to those of you who will be kind enough to raise your hand, and she will give you prayer cards.
Good evening, everybody. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dale.
Hope Jennifer's doing well.
All right. One of my camera people just left. I guess, is it all ready?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I could be obsessive and check again, but I forget my phone. Okay. Do my final part.
Is everything good? Get that. All right, well, he's getting that. Upsetting, but listen, folks. We have been blessed in this country that even the non-Christian people in this country have been willing to go along with Judeo-Christian ethics and morals. For the large part, most of our country's history, when Roe v. Wade made abortion legal to begin with, that wasn't the people. That was a bunch of progressive activist judges on the Supreme Court who invented a law out of thin air. So then God gave us the opportunity. Credit goes to a lot of people over the years, a lot of organizations, but credit should also go to a man named Donald Trump.
Amen.
Is your mic on?
No.
There we go. Okay, so I'll look for light next time.
It drives me crazy when people don't give credit where it's due. And I believe Donald Trump, if he was not elected, Roe v. Wade never would have been overturned in the first place. You say, well, it's legal now anyway. Well, in 7 states, but there's still 43 states that haven't done this. And maybe down the road, once these people see, they got suckered for starters. This is all about money. Yeah. It isn't about reproductive rights and all that nonsense. Planned Parenthood is a multi-billion dollar business. And when after they kill the children, then they sell their body parts. And your government, and especially the Democrats, have been enabling them to do that. But listen, after this starts to affect people, maybe 2 or 3 years down the road, if the Lord tarries, you can put another referendum to repeal it. In the meantime, may God have mercy on those of us who oppose this satanic agenda.
Yes, amen.
And Luke 17:2, Jesus said, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." That's why Hamas deserves to be completely annihilated.
Amen.
Then also, issue 2 passed. So we already have all kinds of drunk drivers and tired drivers and distracted drivers. Now we're going to have a bunch of dope heads. There are already a bunch of them out there, doped up on marijuana and other drugs. Now this is going to just make it that much more prevalent and easier to get your hands on. And again, I hope you can get this clear in your mind so that you can at least discuss this with people. If people take medical-grade medicine based on marijuana, it doesn't have THC in it. It doesn't make you high. I'm not opposed to that one bit. There's no reason, no logical reason for anybody to oppose that. But they misconstrue this, and they make a lot of people, they actually convinced a lot of people that that's what this was about. And it doesn't have anything to do with that. Again, Ohioans are just suckers. All they did was they voted to make sure that we're going to have a handful of people become millionaires selling drugs. That's all that happened. And the government will get its taxes out of it. And that's it's the same. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
Yep.
1 Timothy 6:10. So, prophetically, current events-wise, people are given over to sorcery. When you read the word sorcery in your King James Bible, it's from the word pharmakia, which is where we get the word pharmacy, drugs. You know, that witch's brew, it may be like, ha ha, funny. You know, you see a woman with a big hat, you know, and she's stirring up the pot and everything. That's a real thing. They just didn't always dress like that. But they mixed potions, and the potions would put people, a lot of times it was to put people in a state of inebriation or euphoria, and that sort of thing. And so it's all related. So Paul's description of those who murdered Jesus describes the state of Ohio well. Paul said this in Acts 28:27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." It's just sad to see the videos and pictures of the people celebrating last night over the victory to be able to kill children. And it's just amazing. Number 2, Israel at war as of 11-8-23. Israel continues to eliminate Hamas Islamic devils with skin. This is the latest announcement. Mohsen Abu Zina was head of weapons and industries, and they took him. He's no longer on the planet. IDF stands for Israel Defense and Forces. Continue to expose tunnels near civilian areas. Now watch this. This is a little video clip. This is, see the Ferris wheel? This is an amusement park. Now it's been leveled because of the war. He's taking people to where they found the tunnel. And it's in an area. This is in the children's area.
See.
There it is. Hamas is purposely putting these tunnels in hospitals, schools, daycares, and then if Israel bombs that and there's civilians killed, so they haven't been doing a lot of that, but they have done some of it because they've told everybody, get out of there. And Hamas has purposely kept a lot of those people from leaving. And listen, Israel's hands are clean. You know, if they say for 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to bomb that whole area, get out. And if you don't, then, you know, their hands are clean. Now, Netanyahu said this about post-war Gaza security.
President Biden has said that it would be a mistake for Israel to occupy Gaza. Who should govern Gaza when this is over?
those who don't want to continue the way of Hamas. It certainly is not. I think Israel will, for an indefinite period, will have the overall security responsibility, because we've seen what happens when we don't have it. When we don't have that security responsibility, what we have is the eruption of Hamas terror on a scale that we couldn't imagine.
So that's the way it's been all along. Israel, they can't allow them to self-govern. All the money that's given, all the aid that's sent over there is used to build tunnels, to make missiles. They actually dig up the sewer lines and water lines and turn them into missiles. I mean, that's so you can't allow that type of people to self-govern. But the Biden administration contradicts this.
It's also clear that Israel cannot occupy Gaza. What I've heard from Israeli leaders is that they have no intent to reoccupy Gaza and retake control of Gaza. So the only question is, is there some transition period that might be necessary, and what might be the mechanisms that you could put in place for that to make sure that there is security?
Did you hear the contradiction?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's hear it back to back.
It's also clear that Israel cannot occupy Gaza.
Israel will, for an indefinite period, will have the overall security responsibility, because we've seen what happens when we don't have it.
There's a clear contradiction there.
Yeah.
The Biden administration is already starting to size up against the Israeli government. Yeah. Meanwhile, the world continues to grow more anti-Israel and anti-Jewish. That's not an Islamic country. It's Denmark. That's Denmark. I mean, think of that. And you look there, there's ISIS flags. It's not Palestine. ISIS flags.
That's because they let them all in, just like we did.
And I know you know that and you know that, but most people are totally unaware of it.
Yeah.
Denmark, I mean,
they had open borders. They let them all come
it
in.
It used to be the safest place on earth. And now they've turned it into a hellhole. And it's all because of what the Biden administration is doing on our border right now. Listen, I don't have to tell my family because they're totally aware. But if you have family members who aren't aware of this stuff, you need to tell them. I mean, they need to be careful where they go, and they need to be armed and able to defend themselves. At least have pepper spray or something on you with your phone, and never travel alone. Amen. In America today. You Amen. Go to the wrong neighborhood in Columbus, the wrong neighborhood in Cleveland, Toledo, Cincinnati, you name it. You go to the wrong neighborhood and break down, you could be just as dead as they were in southern Israel during the Hamas attacks. And it's going on in the news media. They don't report it many times, and when they do, they say stupid things like Jewish man dies after hitting his head, you know, or something like that. When he was killed by a pro-Palestinian protester in outside of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
But the headlines just made it look like another accident, an old man falling down hitting his head. The only way America can be saved from becoming Denmark is to adopt this policy from guess who?
Hamas and sympathizers on college campuses. The college campuses are being taken over. And all of the resident aliens who joined in the pro-jihadist protest this month, nobody's ever seen anything like it. Come 2025, we will find you and we will deport you. We will deport you.
Amen.
Amen.
And listen, If any of the other candidates say that, and you hear it, and you see it, send me the link. I'll play the video. This guy's the only guy with guts, with a spine. I'd love to see more people stand up and say these things. And if somebody don't like it, then stay away. In a few years, you'll be turning around saying, you were right, preacher. Your friends and family, you stick to your guns, you tell them the truth,
If they don't want to be around you because of it, let them go. Because in a few years, you won't be the one apologizing for not having a spine and not being honest enough or loving them enough to tell them the truth. Because that's where we're heading if the Lord tarries. And that chant, it was in a, Danish or whatever they speak over there, but they were saying, from the river to the sea. That's why that Islamic trader Tlaib, or whatever her name is, it's spelled T-L-A-I-B, Tlaib, but they say it differently. They say like Talib or something. She ought to just correct the spelling. That way we can pronounce it T-I-L-A-B, you know. But anyway, she's from Dearbornistan up in Michigan. And they censured her because she was promoting that chant on social media. It is a call for genocide. Let me show you. You don't have to guess. That's the map of Israel. Okay? I'm going to zoom it in there. If you look there, you'll see that red arrow, two-way arrow up there. That line is the Jordan River. That's what they're talking about. The other side is the Mediterranean Sea. If you remove the Jews from the river to the sea, there are no more Jews.
Wow.
That's what the chant is all about. From the river to the sea, no more Jews. So every time you hear that, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. It's no more Jews. We're a bunch of deadly, devil-possessed killers. That's what you ought to hear. So, be informed and pray and act accordingly.
Amen.
A couple of minutes for comments or questions if you have them. Brian?
On issue two with the legalization of marijuana, I don't know how many people know this. I didn't know this until recently. But the marijuana that was popularized in the 60s by the hippies was about 3% THC. And the really, right. really good stuff was 5% THC. Now it's 90.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Genetically modified probably too. Yeah, it's going to get interesting, but you just got to, folks, we got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You better be smart the way you live and where you travel, etc. Jim?
You've said this, but it bears repeating. Nobody wants the Palestinians.
Yeah.
They have been just raised on hate.
Yeah.
That's why the other Arabs do not want them in their country.
Yeah.
There's too radical for other Arabs.
Yeah.
When all you've ever known is hate, I mean, that's just unimaginable.
Yeah.
That's all they know.
And that's becoming true of the left in this country.
Absolutely.
All they know is hate. All they can do is lie. They project on you the things that they actually want to do to other people and so forth. It's really... It's not Islam, but it's the same spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah,
Jill? I've heard that THC stays in your body 6 months. Mm-hmm. So it stays either in your brain or in your...
I can tell you my
6 months.
Personal experience with it is that I stopped smoking pot. And about 6 months later, I thought I was able to think clearly enough, and that's when I got saved.
Right, from 6 months at least.
Yeah.
This new stuff could be worse.
It's going to burn up the brain cells.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a bunch of mummies walking around that don't have a brain in their head.
Remember the commercial where they said, this is your brain on drugs, and they popped the egg and put it in the frying pan? Now they should just show Joe Biden walking aimlessly. This is your brain on drugs. Because I'm convinced that dude's on drugs. He's on some kind of, you know, psych meds and things. They give those to people with Alzheimer's and dementia. That's what I think one of these days we'll find out.
Back to those numbers from the issue one. 2.1 million people voted to kill babies. At 1.7 million voted against it.
Now, how many people are in our state?
There's 11 million people in this state.
So if you say half of those are adults, then you're talking about around 6 million adults, 6 million of voting age. At least 5 million of those ought to be voting. And how many Christians did not vote? And as Brian and I were talking, there's also a lot of professing Christians who voted for it.
Yes.
And
the same people voted for the dope that voted to kill babies for the most part.
Yeah, they go hand in hand.
2.1, it's very, very close to 2.183 and 2.186. It's within 3,000 actually now that they're getting closer to 100% report. It's a mess. But that just tells you, you know, let's assume that Christians were voting against murder and probably Catholics. And that's probably it.
And a lot of Catholics voted for it.
Right. So among that 1.6 million, those are people who got off their hind end and did something, you know, and voted.
One of my favorite things when I'm talking to a Catholic, once they make it clear they're not going to listen to the gospel and everything anyway, and I'll ask, so do you say you're Catholic, that means you're against abortion? And almost every time they say, well, not really. Well, then you're not a Catholic. I mean, according to your religion, you are anathema. Do you know that? No, I mean, Joe Biden's a Catholic. Well, that's what most Catholics are. Most Catholics are Joe Biden. There's a small number of Catholics who are really serious about any kind of faith in their actual religion. No, that's why you're here, Doug. We can help you. And I'm being facetious, but it's true. I try to let all you know, it's not that I'm such a brainiac or anything, but I'm just here to tell you, I've talked to all of you, and I know most of you don't know as much as you think you know. And that's why we do these current events updates, because it's to help you come to full realization. You know, I don't think Brian mind me telling you that, you know, last week, something that we talked about, he just like, I would never have thought of that. I never would have believed that. It's something that only as a pastor I could tell him. But I'm just here to tell you that, that's why we'll keep doing this. You'll be my last one. We'll get into our Bible study.
It reminds me, and I don't have the quote here. This is a rough paraphrase. But I got this from somewhere where they said, the problem isn't people knowing things. It's knowing things that aren't so.
That's Ronald Reagan. And he says, the problem with my liberal friends is not that they don't know things, it's that so much that they know is wrong.
Okay, yeah. I don't know very many Catholics.
Yeah. Well, that's just one of the, like I said, it's something to mark down, and then now you'll start to,
I know.
It's like when you buy a blue Fit, I never noticed any of them, and then I bought one, and all of a sudden I see them everywhere. You know, that's what happens when you get some of these tidbits we get in our current events update. All right, we're going to do a Bible reading lineup. 1 Corinthians 1:21. Brian. John 1:12-13. Johnny. Ephesians 1:3-5. Mary. Hebrews 10:14 is Janie. And then Hebrews 10:17-18. Anybody? Anybody? Jill? 1 Timothy 4:9-10. This will be our last one. Jenny.
Uh-huh. Wait a minute.
Oh, I got one more. Galatians 2:16. I thought I only had five. Got... Jim, all right. So make sure you got yours down. And I'll go on. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. And ask Brother Doug in the back if he would. Open Bible study prayer.
And we pray for the United States of America, and we pray for
Amen. So we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And the title is Chosen You to Salvation. Now, we're going to take a close look at that chosen. That's kind of, that was the theme of our hymns. Mm-hmm. It'll also be the theme of the closer. For reference, the title slide you just saw there is from Toy Story. You remember the Toy
Amen.
Story?
Yes, by heart.
The Claw is our master. The Claw chooses who will go and who will stay.
This is ludicrous.
Just keep that in mind as we get into our study. Verses 13 through 14. I'm just going to have you both read both of them with me. So let's jump right in there. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So after detailing some of the ugliness of what is to come when that wicked with a capital W appears, Paul then is now moving beyond that with this. But we are bound to give thanks. So when you see the word but, that means that's like you see all this and you see that, but we are bound to give thanks. Bound. That means you're really, it's obligated based on the reality. It's like Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, it's reasonable that you do that. And it's reasonable that you are thankful. After reading that, of course, if you think that if you somehow misconstrue it, you think that you're going to face it and that's your future, you may not be quite as thankful. But those of us who believe that verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, we're going to be raptured before all that stuff happens. Amen. And so we can be thankful for that. Amen?
Amen.
And then Paul, though, he says we're bound to give thanks no matter how dark the light of the Savior gives us plenty to be thankful for.
Amen.
Among which is not going to be here for that. But he goes on to say, always to God. I almost skipped that little phrase or added it to the previous slide, but I wanted to pull that out for a second. Because every Thanksgiving holiday, I hear people talking about, having seen the jaywalker type thing, and they'll say, who are we giving thanks to? And they'll be like, the pilgrims? The president? Yeah. Or the Native Americans? You know, who are we supposed to give thanks to?
God.
All the way to God, yes. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, Trinity, any of those will do, but it's just amazing that there are a lot of people walking around out there like spiritual zombies. They don't even know that Thanksgiving was originally, and throughout history up until recently, everyone understood that it was a day to give thanks to God. So it's not only that one day, but the rest of the year, every day, we should always be thankful to God. Now, Paul ranks among his top items that he is thankful for, for you, beloved, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Now, of course, he's writing specifically to the believers in Thessalonica in that letter, but the application is what Paul is saying. We're facing dark days ahead, but we have the knowledge that the Lord is going to take us home, and in the meantime, we have each other. And it can be a blessing. It should be a blessing. Amen. To have other believers that you can talk to and pray with and pray for is a privilege to be able to do that. Sometimes you don't want the whole church to know what's going on with you. And you don't always want to go to the pastor. And I'm not Father Greg.
Amen.
You don't need to come to me, you know. Father, I've sinned. It has been 6 years since my last confession, or whatever. You know, you can go to Brother Jim, Sister Kim, Brother Brian, Sister John, I mean Brother Johnny. And I'm just kidding. Slip of the tongue. And go up and say, hey, just between us, I'd appreciate if you'd pray for me. I got this thing. Yeah. And I know some of you have done that. That's great. It, don't feel guilty if you don't want everybody to know about it. But there are times, and it's, I'm not going to name names, but some of you might be watching right now where you've been going through things, and then you come and tell us about it after it's all over with. Been nice if we'd known and we could have been praying for you. I mean, you got us here. Why not let us pray for you? Amen. But that's how a lot of people, they can be a little too reclusive. But how often do you thank God for your brothers and sisters when you're praying? Just to thank the Lord. I do. Especially, I think I'm not, this isn't a matter of boasting, it's a matter of my situation. I think I may say it more often than others just because I hear it from so many people out there who write or call or email or whatever because they don't have any fellowship. And I think, Lord, it is such a blessing to have that. And so, you know, glad that we can be, there are people listening right now who don't have a local fellowship of believers. We are more than happy to be here for you as much as we can through this medium. But I pray, and there have been several families through the years that for a while, this is what they had as a local church over the internet. And there is, it included a couple people overseas, a couple families. But we prayed and prayed, and then something happened. In one case, a guy got a transfer, and then they went to that new town, and they found a church.
Amen.
And it was BBF doctrinally and so forth, King James Bible Believers. Then there was another situation where a guy comes in and says, hey, I just found out that they're planting a church here in town. They're King James, and they're dispensational. Aww. Yeah, it's happened. Well, Frank kind of is one of those too.
Yeah, he found
him. Now where he's moving, I don't know if he'll have a church, does he?
Sure
he might
does.
Be. He might be back in the, in his in the, that old situation.
Ken in Canada.
Ken Martell.
Yes.
We went to visit him, and we were able to leave him in a good church where we haven't heard from him in forever.
Yeah.
Because I guess his needs are being met.
Yeah, and you know, doesn't hurt. I'd like to hear from him. It'd be nice if we did, but it, knowing that they're. That's why they're out losing contact.
Yeah, they're taken care of.
So it's the because here that throws some readers. You know, you're reading along here and you see, but we are bound to give thanks always to you, to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because what? Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. And immediately people get troubled by that. Because folks, there's certain words we don't use all the time. We don't use it. We use it as often as it comes up in Scripture. If you go to a church where they're using words way more than the Bible itself does, that's probably a church that has a hobby horse. And I'm sorry to tell you, but a lot of Calvinist churches, their horse is a flower called a tulip. And they ride the election and the chosen and the predestinated and all that to death. Mm-hmm. A lot of those churches, not all of them, but a lot of those churches, they never teach through the Bible. The preacher gets up there and he has a list of sermons and covers the tulip. And some of them will cover the tulip without even telling you that because they don't want to be associated with the name Calvin or whatever. But they hammer this and hammer this. And they go to, they have their conferences and all. It's what's it all about? Those doctrines. And there's nothing wrong with having conferences like that, but I'm just telling you, some of these churches, they're way overboard. And that should tell you something. I believe, that if you're saved today, you are chosen.
Amen.
I believe in predestination. I believe in election. I just don't believe it the way the Calvinists teach it. That's the difference. So the question is, why has God, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation? And see, the Calvinists, if they're real Calvinists, they believe that there is no reason why, other than God just decided, I'm going to save you, to hell with you. I'm going to save you, but to hell with you. I'm going to save you, but to hell with you. That's the truth. I have, the first time I heard it taught was by a professor in a college who was a pastor of a church, and he was a very good teacher. And I really enjoyed his teaching for several months. Then all of a sudden, he got on a kick and decided we were going to be called Reformed Baptist. And he was going to start teaching the tulip. And he described it like this. God looked out on the mass of humanity and decided to choose you and to choose you and to choose you. He didn't choose this one. He didn't choose that one, but he chose that one. And that's why you're saved. That's Calvinism. And the question is, why does the Bible say he did choose you? They ignore what the Bible actually says about this. They don't like what the Bible says because they have conjured up this false standard in their mind that if you have anything to do with choosing to be saved, then that means God's not sovereign. That's the truth. That's what it comes down to. Is they believe that if you, hearing the gospel, choose to believe, then that somehow means God's not sovereign. My response is, no, you're not allowing God to be sovereign. Because God is sovereign, and he has said, in my sovereignty, I have chosen to save those who believe.
Amen.
That's it.
Easy. Yeah, they use that one verse about Jacob I love and Esau I hate.
That's one of them.
Always use that.
Yeah.
And then somebody is somebody point Calvinist.
Always, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we are zero. You know.
So, was it like this? He's reached down and picked Willie.
Claw is our master. Claw chooses who will go and who will stay.
This is ludicrous.
See, I think that is ludicrous. The idea that God just reached out and decided to say this one and that one and this one doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Doesn't have anything to do with the gospel. And that's the truth about Calvinism and the tulip and those who teach this predestinarian view of salvation. It doesn't be. They will tell you that you believed because before you even heard the gospel, God regenerated you. Just go listen to R.C. Sproul or any of these guys. I can't name all the Calvinists in the world because I haven't listened to all their stuff, but I can tell you the ones I have listened to, and they'll teach this. That before you even heard the gospel, God regenerated you. And then because you were regenerated, that's why you believe the gospel. And that is the exact opposite of what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
So no, it was not like Toy Story. The claw.
Amen.
God chose to save those who would believe on Jesus.
Amen.
Scripture was scripture. Who's got 1 Corinthians 1:21? You'd like to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21.
Are we ready? Yeah, that's perfect. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
See, that contradicts Calvinism. The Calvinist doctrine is that before you even hear the preaching, you're regenerated. So that would not be a true statement. He would say that God, it pleased God by the foolishness of regeneration before you even hear the preaching to save you. See how different that is from the Bible? What's your Bible say? The preaching. Preaching what? The cross. The death, burial, and resurrection. To save them that what?
Believe.
He chose to save them that believe, not to choose who would believe.
Amen.
So I'm giving you a little nuances on this, and I hope you pick it up, because if you talk to people who believe this stuff, you better understand this. They can trip you up. But he chose to save those who believe, not to choose who would believe. That's that little thing where he says he chose you, and based on that, then you believed. Not what the Bible says. Who's got John 1? John J. has John 1, 12 through 13.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
So it's crystal clear. He's received, to as many as received him, then he gave the power to become. It doesn't say he chose who would receive him. It says that to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. Then look, verse 13. He doesn't have to save you even then. But it's his will to do so. Not of the blood or the will of man nor the will of flesh, but of God. So it's God's will, or you could believe till you turn blue. He doesn't have to save you. But he has chosen to save those who will believe. And that's his will. He did not cause anyone to believe, but gave those who would believe the power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
Who's got Ephesians 1, 3 to 5? This is another one of those main passages you'll hear quoted.
Yes.
Ephesians 1, 3 to 5.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Now, look at verse 4. Now, it's a very dangerous thing, but you'll hear people add things to God's word in order to prove their own point. People who otherwise would tell you they believe the Bible should not be tampered with. You'll hear them say, you don't add or take away from the book. And yet they'll add. And what do they do here? Look at your verse 4. They will quote this, not when they're reading it necessarily, but when they're trying to convince you, they will say, according as he hath chosen us to be in him. Now, did you see that? That's not in your Bible. There's no to be in your Bible. It says he hath chosen us in him. What's that mean? That means if you believe on Christ, then you receive him. You're now in him and he's chosen you.
Amen.
Because you're in him.
Amen.
And you have to change God's word. You have to tinker with God's word in order to teach this man-made theology. Also look at verse 5. Predestination. Having predestinated us to be saved. Does it say that?
Yeah.
No. Predestination is that once you are chosen, you have believed on Christ, God has chosen to save you, and predestinated that those who are saved are adopted. He could save you and not adopt you. He could save you from hell and then send you to the planet Kolob with the Mormons. He didn't have to save you. But then once he saved you, he didn't have to adopt you. But he's predestinated that if you're saved, he's going to adopt you.
Amen.
See how simple the Bible is? He didn't choose who will save, but to save those who would believe. It is. It takes. Well, I think it's my next statement. No, I was going to say it takes a lot of times it takes a scholar to mess it up. Because it really is that simple. You know, I became a Christian, read through the Bible actually several times before I even heard of Calvinism. And I started hearing this stuff being taught. And I'm like, that's nowhere in the Bible. And then I'd hear them quote the verses. And you know what I found out? They'll deny it when you talk to them. But what I found out is it's man worship.
Amen.
And every one of these guys, it's a man. Sometimes it might even be their local pastor that they really respect. But a lot of them, it's Augustine. As a matter of fact, I've never done it myself, but I've been told by somebody who did that you can download Calvin's Institutes. It's a huge, like, 7-volume work or something like that.
Yeah.
You can download that and do a word search and search how many times he quotes Paul and how many times he quotes Augustine. I'm told it's like 3-1 Augustine.
Yeah.
You always find that with this stuff. These guys will quote some other source other than the Bible constantly to come up with their theology. So, do you have your hand?
Yeah. The first Calvinist that I ran into that I remember, I was trying to fellowship. I didn't know he was Calvinist, first of all. And he said he didn't have to pray. Everything was predestinated.
Yeah.
So how about witnesses? He didn't have to witness because everything was predestinated.
Now,
and he kept going on and on with the word predestination. Like, he didn't even have to look at the Christian life because it was already signed, sealed, and delivered. You know,
and yet,
this guy's an idiot.
And yet you'll never find that word even associated with salvation.
Yeah. That had nothing to do with Scripture. Nothing.
Yeah. Now, that... just to be clear and fair, a lot of Calvinists wouldn't say that. And that's the kind of Calvinist I can get along with, actually. Charles Spurgeon's one.
Yes.
He's deceased. But if you read his books, and I could name numerous other Calvinists who believe in that predestination and all that, but they don't live it.
Amen.
They pray and they witness. And, you know, and I'm like, well, you know, praise the Lord for that. If all Calvinists acted like that, I just wouldn't want them to teach their theology in my church, but I wouldn't have a problem with it at all.
Amen.
Really, you do what you want to in that church.
Here.
But what he's talking about, I'm trying to think, there was a name of a certain group of Calvinists that they thought it was a sin to even have missionaries.
Oh, yeah.
They had would not support missionaries. Because if those people over there were going to get saved, God would see to it. It's predestinated. Right?
It's interesting. Yeah, and I haven't gone through and read everything in Institutes, but if he's using Augustine, Augustine actually advocated spreading of what he called Christianity by violence.
Yeah, and Calvin did a little of that. I mean,
the same thing is true of Thomas Aquinas and a lot of other Catholics that relied on the writings of Augustine.
In the Institutes, that comes up once that I remember, but most of what he is quoting Augustine on is on other matters. But I'm trying to think of the guy's name. He burned had a fellow burned to the stake, and they tried Calvin did, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
In Geneva, they called Calvin the Pope of Geneva.
Yeah.
He kind of ruled the roost there. They try to excuse it and say that he didn't actually have a hand in it, but it's pretty clear he did. Yeah. By the way, we have, unless it's checked out, The Other Side of Calvinism by Lawrence Vance, and then What Love Is This by Dave Hunt. There's some good books on this if you're interested in diving a little deeper into it. But sadly, many people submit to denominational doctrines. They fall under the influence of men, as I mentioned, and movements. Or they just practice bad interpretation called hermeneutics and then adopt the fatalism of Augustine, Calvin, and other hyper-predestinarians is another word for it. And it tells us right in our text the very basis of our being chosen. That's the crazy thing. Go over to, back to our text here, 2 Thessalonians 2. It explains it right there. It says in verse 13, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth.
Yep.
Has nothing to do with predestination, has nothing to do with even regeneration, which actually happens when you're saved, not before, as they teach.
Amen.
It's a twofold cause here for being chosen, but it happens simultaneously.
Amen.
The sanctification of the Spirit is the first. We would call that initial sanctification because sanctification begins when you're saved.
Yes.
We call that initial sanctification. Then your whole life is a process of sanctification where God sanctifies you, and we need to die daily And as you grow in the Word and as you submit to Him and all that, you're going through a sanctified process. And then at the end of life, either at the rapture or at death, that's when your soul is eternally sanctified from that point on, sinless.
Amen.
And then at the rapture, either you going up or you coming back and getting your body coming up to meet you, that's when your body is sanctified completely and glorified, and it's done at that point.
Amen.
Sanctification is over. But it starts with the sanctification of the Spirit. Who's got Hebrews 10:14? I think that's Janie.
For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
So it says it connects being sanctified with his death and what he provided on the cross. Nothing to do with predestination or anything like that. Who's got 17:18, Jill?
And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin.
So the connection there is clear, that when it says that it's through the sanctification of the Spirit, it's talking about when you're saved.
Amen.
He chose you because you're sanctified through the Spirit the moment you believe and you're saved. Then the second, which, again, this is all simultaneously, how and why were you sanctified through the Spirit? Because you believed the truth. And that's the second part, belief of the truth. We would call that saving faith, is a way some people would call that. Who's got my better half, I believe, has 1 Timothy 4, 9 and 10.
This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe.
And that especially is, we would normally say, specifically. Specifically of those that believe. That's how God chose to save you. Now I know some of you are thinking, this is like really basic, Greg. Yes, but I'm giving you answers to heresies that will rob you of this basic truth. There are many more people who would be in this room right now if they weren't robbed of these basic truths.
Amen.
By any number of these false teachings.
Amen.
Now, with that biblical foundation in mind, let's go back to our text, verse 13. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That doesn't leave any room for one of these extra biblical doctrines of the tulip. We are chosen because we have believed.
Yeah.
Brian?
Well, one of the most well-known verses in all of Christianity is John 3:16. And it says it right there. For God so loved.
Well, we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
We're going to wait, but you're right on.
Yes.
Johnny?
I just want to mention here it shows how the masterful use of prepositions in verse 13 there, but how you have to be able to follow those to get the truth there.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, you know, maybe so. A lot of people don't try, maybe.
That's why I said a lot of it is sloppy interpretation, which simply means they don't read it and let it speak. The Bible isn't that difficult when it comes to these basic truths. There are difficult passages. There are mysteries and things. We can't answer all the questions, but on these things, it's crystal clear.
And it's in plain English, but to Johnny's point, some people can't read plain English for some reason.
Yeah. Who's got Galatians 2:16? Is that Jim?
Yeah.
Galatians 2:16.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Now you see, is it me, or is it just a fact that if this Calvinist view was true, then it would say something here.
Yeah.
It says that we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ because we've been foreordained to do so. It would say something like that.
Right.
And it never does. It puts the onus on you. Jesus did look out on the crowd and say, believe on me if you're predestinated to do so. And when you stand before God on Judgment Day, if you have not believed the gospel, you will answer for it because you're the one who chose not to.
Yep.
And you, but as it stands, if Calvinism were to be true, every unbeliever can stand up there in front of God and say, yep, you didn't make me believe, so I didn't. If you would have just chosen to make me believe, I'd be over there with that crowd. But instead, I'm standing here naked, getting ready to get thrown in a lake of fire. No difference between me and them, except for you just chose them and didn't choose me.
Wow.
Think of how crazy that is.
Yeah.
If you believe the gospel, you are chosen. And knowing this, we have assurance that one day we will live in His glory. That's verse 14. Read that with me again. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to put on the glory of Christ. That's, I can't sum that up in 3 minutes, so we'll look at that next time. That's something worth taking the time to look at. But let's close reading the words of Jesus that Brian had his mind on just a moment ago, where Jesus teaches exactly what Paul taught us, obviously. John chapter 3, we're not just going to read 16, we're going to read John 3, 14 through 18. And it just, I'm sorry, anybody who's watching this is a Calvinist, and I know, you're saying, you just don't understand Calvinism and all this stuff, okay. But I'm sorry, but when I read this is another text. When I read it, I see nothing but Jesus telling people to believe. I think Calvinism, this might even get me bumped off, this message deleted from certain sources that we put it on, but I believe Calvinism makes Jesus a liar. Jesus is telling people this, but really, behind the scenes, it's this. So let's read the even verses 14 through 18. Start right there with me in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. If Calvinism were true, it would say that he that believeth on Him has been predestined to do so, but he that believeth not was not predestined to believe. That's not what it says. Doesn't come anywhere close. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. How many of you believed on Him?
Amen.
You are not condemned.
Amen.
Repeat after me. I am chosen.
I am chosen.
Because of what Christ did for me.
Because of what Christ did for me.
Amen. And no room for pride or arrogance.
Amen.
And this is what I'm going to close with this one remark, and then we're going to close in prayer. But a lot of these Calvinists, not all, but a lot of these Calvinists have a real superiority complex. I was chosen. Yeah. Just think about it. Out of all of humanity, God chose, in their view, God chose a tiny remnant to save. That means you're pretty special. You see, in my understanding of the gospel is Jesus is really special.
Amen.
And I am saved in spite of me, not because of me. And I certainly wasn't so special that God would have chose me from the mass of humanity. The whole lot of other people I think he would have chose before me if that was it came down to. Yeah. Doug?
It's kind of like that thing that was on Saturday Night Live, one of those where it says, I am Chevy Chase and you're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the humility disappears when you start to believe this stuff that we've been talking about, the Calvinistic version. And the biblical version leaves us totally humble and forever thankful. And now, here's the good thing. Once the rapture happens, there won't be any more Calvinists.
Amen.
Those that are saved, they'll no longer be about another man. They'll be about Jesus. No longer about John Calvin. No longer about Augustine. No longer about Martin Luther. No longer about anybody, any of these guys. And so forever we'll be giving him all the praise. His name and his glory. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Pray that everyone listening to this will understand the implications and the importance of this study. To know the truth so that we can then avoid falling for the counterfeits. And Lord, we just ask you to give understanding to anyone still not clear on the matter. But where I have failed, your spirit will succeed by the power of your word. And we thank you so much for Jesus and what he's done to save us. We're so thankful that we want to be all about Jesus and not about some other theologian. And we want to be all about your word and not the words of men. And we want to be all about looking for you to take us home, as we'll look if you do tarry, so that we can put on the glory of Christ. We look so forward to that. And thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's sing another song about the chosen. Page 500. When his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies. Mm-hmm. Yes.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called of yonder, when the roll is called of yonder.
and chosen may be seated.
I think we should sing while we got it.
Yeah. John, do you want to play Happy Birthday for us?
Sure.
Ooh. We were going to sing to Ezra, but he's not here. So yeah, you'll have to tell Ezra that we'll sing to him next time.
I swapped this week. I had him on Monday because that was his birthday.
Monday was his birthday?
Yeah,
I knew it was this week. So we're going to sing to Jenny Allenball. We're going to sing Happy Birthday.
Yes,
I want you to stand right there so everyone can stare at
you.
That's what the little cakes. We're having cake on the third Sunday like normal, but we just had a little special cake tonight for Jenny.
Aw, thank you.
Hit it, Maestro.